The Novos When You Wake Up.
Live across Newcastle and the Hunter.
All live, all local, 100% Newcastle.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
How are you today, Ari?
Yeah, all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I had a terrifying drive to work.
Okay, actually, I had an annoying drive to work myself. Let's talk about yours first.
Okay,
what
sure.
Happened? What happened?
So, I turn off Industrial Drive onto Maitland Road.
Yep.
So, it's a big dual carriageway. So, you got two lanes going each direction.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's still 80, the last little bit of 80 before it turns to 60 for the roadworks.
Yeah.
Suddenly, there's somebody coming, like, the opposite direction on my side of the road.
On your side?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Did they not realise where the lines were?
It's not even lines. It's a full median strip of grass.
Oh, that one. Right, yeah.
So they are going full the other direction while it's still 80.
Oh, my God.
Terrifying.
So what happened after that?
I don't know. I spotted them. I, like, flashed them, beeped, but they can't even move to the other side of the road. It's all grass and concrete in between.
Oh, no. They've done an oopsie.
They've at some point gotten onto the wrong side of the road. Maybe when they, like, turned from some other street or something.
I have noticed, though, from, like, Industrial Drive, like Mayfield Way, to get onto that road to come into our job here.
Yeah.
It's not very well lit across most of the roads.
Yeah, but you still know what side of the road you're supposed to be on.
Unless, mainly.
You
can't, I'm trying to help the person.
It's like highway. You can't get on the wrong side of the highway unless you're, like, you know, one of those 80-year-old pensioners that somehow goes down the wrong way.
It could happen by accident. I'm defending the person.
At 4:30 in the morning, what are you... Oh,
I don't know, maybe they were too tired, didn't know what they were doing.
Holy dooly, it was terrifying because when you're on a dual carriageway, like two lanes each way, you do not expect someone coming the other way.
Oh, absolutely not.
On your side of the road. First time I've ever seen that.
That's so dangerous.
Very, very much so.
Just drive on the right side, please.
Yeah, that. Oh, well, what was your terrifying moment?
Well, it wasn't terrifying, it was just, you know... frustrating because I tried to, because I come a different way, of course, because I live in a completely different area. And the turn off to go into our kind of Sandgate bunker here was closed because of bloody roadworks again. I'm so sick. So I had to go down to the Macca's at Heatherbrae or whatever it's called and turn around at Macca's and then come back up.
An extra couple of minutes?
Yes!
Oh.
That's five or six, I might say to you. Yes.
We should have done your story first.
Yeah. It's climactic.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
I saw something pop up last night. Nine Honey has done like a little investigation on it. You remember how last week, Crevo, we were talking about these designer Woolworths bags?
Like, yes.
The reusable bags,
of course. I saw them for sale in Mayfield.
Yeah, okay. So they're up for $20, mm-hmm. the designer tote bags, but they're now being sold on eBay for double the cost. So someone's, like, bought these and have decided to sell them for a lot more. Oh, my goodness. And they're now worth $45 on eBay. Limited edition. It's being marketed as, and I'm sure it is, but, you know, not cool. The retailer has actually labelled the unauthorised sale of its annual Hindmarch bag as unacceptable.
Yeah, but good luck.
Slap on the wrist.
You can't stop that.
No.
That's, if they try and stop, if Woolworths tries to stop someone selling it, how unbelievably, like, hypocritical is that?
Absolutely.
Their whole business model is buying stuff and then selling it for more.
Well, the whole thing is...
That's what commerce is.
I just think that, you know, they've just gone a step too far with these designer tote bags for your groceries. But
I looked at one because I saw them there.
Did you like pick it up, yep. have a feel of it, all that type of thing?
Honestly,
Did
it looked like
nice?
No.
I don't know.
It looked like it was worth about $4.
Ooh.
That was my assessment of the value.
And what's his description would have been like as an argument? Oh, sustainable living, you know? It's made of, like, all the right stuff.
It wasn't even in a fancy, like display or anything. It just looks one of those boxes. You know when they have Helga's wraps on sale?
Yeah.
And they're in sort of a cardboard display?
Yes.
It was just in them.
Is that it?
Yep. They could have swapped out the Helga's wraps and you wouldn't have known.
Well, how else are they going to display them? In a glass case? Like what they do with Swarovski?
Yeah, do something a bit fancy if you're trying to make something fancy.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so there you go. $45 for a stupid little tote bag.
Life is getting out of control when stuff like that goes on.
Hey, that's probably something I would do, to be fair.
What, buy one?
Buy one and then sell it double the price.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Oh, people be scamming.
Yeah, they certainly are.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5.
All right, Bree is here from your live and local newsroom. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Very good.
Yeah.
Getting there. Ari's a little on the tired side today, but we are...
I'm always tired. I'm always running on fumes.
This feels like more fumey than normal.
Fumey. I can smell it from here.
Exactly. Now, the budget obviously is one of the big stories at the moment.
Didn't even know that it rolled around, to be honest.
You know what was so funny yesterday on the news last night?
Yeah.
They had the footage. Somebody had gotten a footage of them coming off the printing press, the ones they hand out to all the politicians. I'm like, whose job was it to get that B-roll? the new person on the team. Now, we're wanting to know, I guess, what's in it for, big thing, of course, cost of living, and what's in it for us locals?
Yeah, that's right. So budget's being handed down this evening, 7:30 tonight. The three key priorities that were laid out from a leading business advocacy, so what they want for the Hunter, they've said they want investment into the high-speed rail development.
Oh, yeah.
Clean energy and also finally securing an international carrier for the Newcastle Airport.
Oh, those old chestnuts, hey. Do you reckon, like, this year's our year? For, like, to get those secured and, like, off the ground and moving?
You'd hope so. Like, you know, the high-speed rail network, I think that would be absolutely fantastic. But how long have we been talking about it, right?
Decades.
Since the 80s.
Yeah.
So we're into
the... Since the 80s.
I'm not joking. There's chat of it in the 80s. There's old newsreel and stuff from it.
Wow.
That is pushing 40 years.
It's a long time.
It's time. It is time. But it's... Yeah, it'd be interesting to see... If this can happen.
Yeah, and I think as well, talking about the Newcastle Airport, I was a little bit shocked that they haven't yet secured an international carrier.
Yeah.
I would have thought they would have.
It's so far from built, but as all they've done is expand it. There's no guarantees at all, so far as I can tell, that international flights are happening.
I reckon my theory is, now I don't know this for sure, but I think that they just don't have the money for it.
Well, once it's built, the size of the airport is there. Like,
yeah,
the runways are big enough for the big planes.
Yep.
It then relies on, international carriers wanting to fly out of Newcastle.
Yeah.
That is the key element.
But it's too small still, I reckon, for international carriers to jump on board with it.
Well, there just has to be enough people buying tickets. No, that's the key.
Yeah, I was going to say the demand as well, right?
Yeah, the runway is big enough. Mm. It's just, and the airport's big enough to have like the immigration section and whatever's needed with the new expansion. There just has to be the international carrier who's willing to go, we're going to fly from here.
Mm.
Here's your tickets for sale. And then people have to buy them.
Well, I'd jump on board if they did deals for like Bali and stuff, like a flight resort package.
That would be amazing.
Ooh, there you go. There's an idea for the marketing team.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
for sure.
Okay, moving swiftly along to some good news as well, Bree. Some funding has come through for a local Newcastle theatre.
Yeah, a massive $200,000 is going to be funneled into Young People's Theatre.
So this is the one in Hamilton, yeah?
Yeah, this is a major boost from the state government all for this young theatre. So it's absolutely awesome. It's going to be funneled into the development of a modern and fit-for-purpose theatre.
Interesting. Yeah, apparently a lot of the equipment and stuff is outdated, so the tech needs to be, you know, more modernised as well.
Yeah, which is, well, any upgrades for our local theatre scene are appreciated.
Well, right? Of course. Like, it's so big and not a lot of people realise that, but this theatre's been running for more than 75 years. It's got 400 participants doing weekly classes. Mm-hmm. It is a real big thing.
And I think as well it's important because it is that young people's theatre. I think it's such a great thing for kids to get into.
I agree.
Well. It builds their confidence, it makes them resilient, and it shows their creative outlet as well. It's awesome.
Teaches them people skills as well, not to mention teamwork.
That's it. Bring on the funding. Hopefully we can continue to get more.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
How about this for a headline?
Mm.
You almost can't make it up. Florida man is arrested for stealing lap dances at a strip club.
Okay, what does this mean? Like,
all right, good question.
I've got a lot of images in my head, which is probably not the best thing of this morning, but yeah.
1:41 a.m.
Oh, my Lord.
He was arrested, and this is just 10 minutes after he'd fled the club.
Whoa.
So he went to Rain Ladies and Gentlemen's Club in the area he lives in, and sort of Tampa Bay or whatever, Florida, whatever. He'd finished this adult dance,
okay,
and he told staff that he did not have the funds to pay for the services he received.
Did he just not check his wallet before he left home that night?
Quite possibly. I'm not sure of the details.
I don't have no $1 bills. Sorry.
He left without settling his bill.
Oh, dear.
Police then turn up at his house. They said he was under the influence of alcohol or appeared that way, and they accused him of intent to appropriate property, which is basically a fancy way of saying you stole something.
Well, I mean, yes, technically you stole a service.
Well, they said that these adult dancers were the property of Rain Ladies and Gentlemen's Club.
Oh.
This is the argument. Apparently his partner or wife was very upset with him for stealing $160 worth of adult dancers from from this club. It's quite extraordinary,
so,
really.
So, in other words, he did a sit and run?
It seems to be way.
Yeah, yeah.
They're obviously very upset, and they've accused him of theft.
Look, if your job is to give people a bit of a dance and a bit of entertainment, you would expect some remuneration, and especially of the exotic kind, considering how, you know, you have to be all over them. Yeah, that's right.
Here's my favourite part of the story. Last line of it.
Yeah.
Local media called the club one of the best places to spend St. Patrick's Day or New Year's Eve.
Well, I mean, they're getting a good plug, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, important detail, I guess.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. And on the air now.
All right, I did something last night, haven't done for a long time.
What did you do?
Breakfast for dinner.
How good is breakfast for dinner?
That's such a treat.
Pancakes.
That's an option.
Whipped cream and jam.
I was trying to remember, like, which cereal it was that tried to sell it. Was it Sultana brand?
What do you mean? Try to sell it.
Like, for ages, they were like, you should just have it for any time of day. I can't remember what cereal it is.
I didn't even know about this ad.
I think it was Sultana brand.
Oh, wouldn't surprise
me. They tried to,
like,
flog it as something you could have for dinner.
Sultana brand, you're not even having that for breakfast. That's just nasty.
It's a pretty rare cereal purchase, you got to admit. Had shakshuka. Which is lovely.
Oh, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Spanish, like chorizo tomato kind of thing. And then the eggs get cooked on top.
Oh, delightful.
Oh, very nice. A little toast.
What did you have?
It's delicious. Shakshuka.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about some example that they gave.
No.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's a bit fancy.
Oh, it was so good.
I wouldn't say that's a breakfast for dinner, though.
What do you mean? It's a breakfast food, not at dinner time. How else would you describe it?
No, I feel like that's very dinnerish. I just think that sounds like a dinner.
Well, it might sound like it, but it's not. Anyway, it was
great. A normal person would just have an egg on toast.
Right.
Or some pancakes. or like some fried bread?
I would say it's the same effort of work as pancakes plus a little bit more.
Hell, I would even take raisin toast, but I don't think you could sell that dish. Even though it sounds delightful.
It was
as
very
breakfast.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're a dinner man. Even dinner for breakfast, maybe.
You're saying everyone else who thinks it's breakfast is actually having dinner for breakfast?
Sure.
And they misunderstand their own dish?
So, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, right. You know, that's inspired me. Mum, if you're listening, we're having pancakes for dinner.
I thought you were going to say roast lamb for breakfast.
Actually, don't knock it till you try it. I have done that.
Really?
I eat a lot of... dinner foods for breakfast.
I was going to say,
like
you eat weird foods at the wrong time.
Yeah, I do.
You're big on that.
Yeah, I'm a freak.
I'm probably the wrong person to like shock with that news.
I've had a sundae at 9 a.m. before. Don't judge me.
I wouldn't. Sounds delightful.
Yeah.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
After this next story, we move to Egypt.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Oh, what a classic.
Certainly is. That's because they believe that underneath the pyramids of Giza...
Oh, iconic, by the way.
Which are, in fact, iconic. There is a hidden, like another whole hidden city.
What do you mean? Like underneath?
Underneath
like underground?
The pyramids, they reckon there is. So they've used these like radar, ground penetrating radars.
Great, yes.
To what they found, they believe, are vertically aligned cylindrical structures, like columns.
Right.
In parallel rows beneath the pyramids. And they believe that these might be actually part of a city or like buildings underneath the pyramids that were there before.
This is insane.
It is big if true.
Look, I mean, we think that we know pretty much nearly everything about ancient Egypt as it is because, look, there's been so much research,
a lot of study,
many archaeological finds,
yeah.
And yet we're still finding things to this day, and now there's believed to be a new city, well, an old city, I should say.
Yeah, so Italian researchers, and how about this, from... the University of Pisa, so from one like important monument, ancient monument to another.
Pisa to Giza.
That's right. Yeah. They believe there's a vast underground city which stretches more than 4,000 feet directly underneath, that's about 1,000 metres, of pyramids of Giza, making them 10 times larger than the pyramids themselves.
That's insane. I've Googled it myself as well.
Sure.
Something about... vertical shafts, like you say, like wrapped in spiral staircases.
This is what they're talking
wow.
about. Now, there's some theories in and around this. The first one is ancient civilizations like the Mayans and in Mesoamerica as well, they often built pyramids on top of caves or caverns that were important to them. So perhaps these were important buildings in the past.
Right.
And then they built the pyramids on top of them. Like, this is our important spot. Let's build something new here.
Okay. Okay, you're describing this to me, and I'm thinking about the movies The Mummy, right?
Sure.
You know,
which they're documentaries, aren't they?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and I'm thinking about all, like, the little trap doors or, like, little holes and stuff in these... kind of monuments that could lead down these spiral staircases.
Oh my
imagine
God.
What you could find. What could you find?
Well, that is a great question.
Oh.
And you can imagine that there's all sorts of goodies and treasure down there. Treasure hunters will be licking their lips finding out about this.
Well, you have to get into the ground, though.
Yeah. You have to bring your shovel or whatnot.
Yeah, like big shovels.
Because it's supposed
to... Bring your excavator, kids.
They reckon 4,000 feet below. It's extraordinary because the Giza complex consists of the three pyramids, main three pyramids, which were built 4,500 years ago.
Mm.
So we're talking about stuff that is before that. Extraordinary if true. Some people are doubting it, of course, saying that, you know, maybe they've got their readings wrong or whatever. Only one way to find out. Dig those things up.
You just got to be careful because you can't damage the structures of the pyramids.
Just move them aside.
You can't move them.
Why not? They've done it before.
It's not like houses, right, where you can just pick up a house and put it on a truck.
Yeah, they've got those, like, you know, I've seen that thing like where they move a whole house on a truck on a documentary on 7Mate.
You touch those pyramids, I will kill you.
Well, just, I'm not personally doing it. Someone else will do it.
Well, like, kind of go in from a different angle, away from the pyramids.
You dig in from the side?
Yeah, like a submarine.
Oh, I'm glad you've cracked it.
UFM. The Novos.
The Novos.
It is no secret at all that tying the knot, getting married, is becoming more and more expensive all the time. Experts are now saying that many couples are putting themselves under unnecessary pressure in a bid to keep up with weddings seen on reality TV. Now, this, of course, delves into the world of Married at First Sight. It is currently playing. Yeah. It's wrapping up very soon in the coming weeks. And, you know, it's quite a successful show. I mean, this is no secret either.
People love true love. What can they say?
They do. They also love a lot of drama. But the thing about these reality TV shows when it comes to these weddings is, look, Channel 9 do a spectacular job at setting these weddings up, making them all look different in different wedding venues and whatever.
Sure.
They are beautiful. They do a great job. But it's putting a little bit of, like I say, unnecessary pressure to try and find venues or find vendors that provide such a beautiful service. It's just as much as that.
When you watch these weddings, Ari, because you haven't got married yet.
No, not yet.
Do you think to yourself a little bit, oh, my God, that's beautiful. I wish I got married there.
Yeah, I have. Yes, yeah. Very much so.
Or I wish we had, I have flowers like that at my wedding, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because they're so beautifully done and there's so many of them and, you know, there's a different style in every wedding. Like, I'm such an advocate for it. I think it's fantastic.
It taps into something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Certainly does. Well, according to this business called Easy Weddings, the average cost to hire a wedding venue in Sydney alone is around $16,000 just for the venue. But Aussies are spending more and more on their big day, influenced by Married at First Sight, so they say. So there was a wide range of venues featured on this season of Maths back at the start, ranging from the swanky town hall to cozy and intimate venues tucked in New South Wales's Southern Highlands, things like that. While there must be like picturesque and whatever, it's the floral arrangements. It's a deluxe food.
Everything costs so much.
Yeah. And so seeing all this on TV is inspiring you as a viewer and going, oh, I wish I could have this, have that. But as soon as you do that, you're breaking yourself.
Money.
Yeah, that's it.
Average cost of a wedding in Australia, $36,000 at the moment.
It has gone up as well because the last time I heard about this, it was like last year, year before, was like $31,000,
$32,000.
So now it's gone up.
It goes. Yep. So much cash,
now,
right?
Now, Creva, you are married.
Yes.
With your wedding, did you keep it quite small or?
Yeah, it was, we just got married at like the town hall equivalent.
Great.
Down in Sydney.
Cool.
And then we had just a party at a venue.
No floral arrangements?
Yeah, we had some flowers.
Okay.
Yeah, but we just said we want to book a private party. We didn't say it was a wedding.
Oh.
Because then they just sting you for more. We got all the good food and stuff and it was great, but it was a lot more affordable.
There's a hack. If you still want a kind of similar Married at First Sight wedding.
Don't tell them it's a wedding.
Exactly.
That's my number one tip. You save heaps right there.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Oh, Ari, did you see the footage of the husband of that Melbourne TLMP taking down a sign?
Yes, I did. The husband of the wife who she's the
TLMP down in Melbourne.
Sure, okay.
And he took down, like, the opposition sign.
Yeah, the competitors, yeah.
So embarrassing. You can't
do
that.
That's so funny, though.
You know sometimes that stuff must be happening, right?
Of course it would be, but you do, like, under the cover of night, maybe hire someone or get one of your constituents that's lesser known.
Anyone but you. You can't do it as the husband. How embarrassing is that?
I think it could be a good voting tactic, actually. Any man who supports his wife by taking down the opposition's, like, banners and
you're
stuff.
You're into it?
I'm so into it. I'd be like, you know what? That's a man who supports his wife and all that she stands for. Vote for them as a collective group.
Really?
Both for her, both
what
for the
an
couple.
Interesting way of thinking about it.
Really? I would love this if Will did this for me.
Here's the other element to it, though.
Yeah. It's illegal?
No. Oh. Never heard of this lady till now.
Oh. Maybe it's
a tactic. Is this a marketing campaign?
It might be. I think it's genius.
Big if true. Mm. Big if it's marketing. Because, boy, it's worked. The whole country's, you know, seen the husband, seen her on telly now. Mm. Never heard of her before.
Because I think in the video, it shows him running away but with, like, a big sign.
It's a big dog sign.
Yeah.
It's massive. He can hardly carry it. Middle of the day as well. It just feels... You know what? I'm calling it now. It's an ad. That's my personal opinion, obviously, on what's going on here.
Maybe they have an unusual marketing representative on their
How
team.
How do we get her on TV? Have a video of the husband nicking an opposition sign.
Well, hopefully, maybe Channel 9, Channel 10 will get it up.
Hopefully. Look, we might have cracked this wide open.
Mm.
Or maybe not. Maybe the story is exactly as it seems.
Oh, God.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
Now, though, we move to Sydney for this next point I want to make.
Yeah.
look, it is huge city. Lots of people can't afford to live there, but lots of people seem to still migrate there. It's a whole thing.
The real estate market is wild.
It is. Yep. And it wild looks west. To be a little bit smelly these days. So some homeowners across Sydney have come out to explain this disgusting phenomenon that's been going on. So, you know, when you sell your house, for example, you'll have an open house, possibly you'll have a couple people through, maybe even a couple of groups through in one day, inspection.
Yeah, if your house is well priced, you'll have a lot of people coming to look at it.
Yeah. Well, apparently potential buyers, one or two of them across Sydney, are leaving quite the stinky surprise. So they're going through the house and they're like, oh, when nature calls, I need to take a number two. And if you can hold it, please hold it. Don't take a number two in someone else's house.
You can't do it in an open house.
No, that's very wrong.
You're not supposed to use the toilet at all.
No, don't use the facilities. I mean, look,
you haven't
bought
it yet.
Turn a tap on if you want to check for running water.
Sure.
But obviously there is running water.
Obviously. But you can't use the facilities. That is an absolute no-no.
Mm. Well, one homeowner, particularly from Sydney's inner west, he returned to his house one day after the first open home that he had on his home to find an unflushed poo in his toilet. And he's not the only one. Several potential home sellers are coming out to say the same thing. Like, they're not flushing.
There's a serial person who's doing this, I reckon.
I think so.
I think somebody who's fed up with the fact that they can't afford a house, which is fair, right?
But you're taking a dump in someone else's place.
What your reaction is not fair. You can't go do that. But that's what I reckon they're doing. They're going house to house. Every Saturday, they're looking them all up in their area, and they're just doing a dump run. One to the next to the next to the next.
Well, if you
eat a few curries the night before.
Ew. No, if you were selling your home, Crevo,
yes.
And you came back after an open house.
I would be fuming.
Yeah, but what if you didn't know it was someone who was a serial pooper? Maybe you just thought it was your wife, so therefore you're blaming your wife.
Not happening. I would know that it's this serial pooper. What a nightmare. And gross for everyone else. Okay, and another alternate theory here.
Okay.
It's somebody trying to put off other buyers. Oh, this place is a bit smelly.
Oh,
and then they get a deal.
That's smarter.
Like, scooping a deal, yeah.
I think it's next to a sewage tank.
Yeah, jeez. Mm. Can you guys smell this? You're walking around doing that. Something smells here.
I've heard all the dogs in the neighbourhoods, poop
the
on
front.
Each other's lawns.
Yeah, out the front of this house. Well, better not put in a bid, yeah. Maybe that's a good tactic, actually.
Yes. UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
There's this Parliament Library over in New Zealand that's got quite the spooky existence. The heritage is crazy, and what the staff are doing is even crazier. So, the Parliament conducts after hours of mostly factual legends that occurred in its halls throughout the building, which centre around mysterious deaths in history.
In the library?
Yeah.
This feels like a game of Cluedo.
It does, actually, but spooky. Unexplained noises, deadly storms and ghostly apparitions. So the weekly spooky tours, based on tales that have been circulating among political staffers for decades, are held in the buildings in Wellington, which was built in early to mid 1800s.
Okay. So imagine, normally you would think a parliamentary library might be the dullest place on earth.
Oh, not
but
this
not
one.
Not this one. There's been deaths and stuff in there.
Yes.
And they're, unexplained things. Oh, I left my, plan for the new road system over there and now it's missing.
A ghost took it.
A ghost must have taken it. I swear. Oh no, it was Cheryl from photocopying. She's actually put it back on the shelf.
Well, the tour guides and stuff.
Cut it out, Cheryl. You're annoying me with that. I keep thinking it's a ghost. Sorry, love.
Oh, my God. So all these staff and tour guides are dressed up in, like, these Victoria-era kind of dirty garments and, like, fake blood all over them.
That does sound spooky.
Dirt, all that type of gist. But you've got, like, staff members, like, roaming the halls, screaming and bellowing in agony. Then you've got ones in the basement that are screaming upwards so you can hear it coming from underneath you. Then you've also got, like, stories of where you go into this room. It's one of the regular rooms in the library.
Yeah.
And that's where, apparently, one of the political leaders of the time, like, 100 years ago, was found with a gun in his hand. He shot himself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, after having, like, issues at home and whatever. Like, he's... Yeah, it's absolutely wild. But could you imagine going on these spooky tours, getting told about all these deaths and these hauntings, and then just hearing screams and bellowing throughout the hallways?
Oh, it does sound frightening.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, they're paid actors, you know, all paid by the...
Well, basically.
Yeah, they're basically...
If you look at this building, though, you could
see... It looks scary.
Yeah, you could see where they've gotten the idea from.
And you can always tell a scary building, right? Because there's always...
Pointy bits.
A little... Yeah, well, point... yeah, pointy bits and dust is what I'd say. If you see pointy bits and dust, you know there's ghosts there.
105.3 New FM.
It's the Novos. Name five.
Now, though, trying to find a winner for our game here this morning. The Novos name five. A quick recap. You've got 10 seconds on the clock. You've got to name five things are related to the category that we give you.
Yeah,
pretty
from
simple.
The topic.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's meet our contestant hailing from the mighty Wall's End. Stephanie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, guys. Thanks. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
What's on for your morning? You're off to work? You're finished? You're just up early?
Yeah, already at work this morning.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. What do you do for a crust?
I work in case management in community nursing, so I'm in the office this morning.
Right.
God bless you, Steph. That sounds like a hard job.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's good.
Good.
Hey,
okay.
Anyone, you can hear it in your voice. You're excited to be there, or maybe your boss is listening. Doesn't matter. You know how the game works. Five things from the topic, 10 seconds on the clock. Ari is your quiz master general today.
Okay. Steph, I need you to name five sports in the Winter Olympics. Go.
Snowboarding, snow skiing, ice skating, ice hockey.
Just said bobsledding.
You know what came
jumping.
To mind for me? Curling. That weird
curling.
One with the stones, you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking anything that had snow in front.
Yeah, you did pretty fair. Well. 4 out of 5. Hey, we're still going to put you in the draw for tickets to Six the Musical, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. See how the game's played? It's a little bit tougher than meets the eye sometimes.
Yes.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
And we bring into the show here producer Mark because
Yay.
Morning first of all.
Morning guys, how you doing?
Very Lucky good. We believe you had to do some like substitute coaching at the weekend
Ooh.
For a team, is that right?
Yes, I did. So I've got to ask you, have you guys ever had to coach a kids' sport team before?
Sort of, yeah. Sometimes I have.
Ari's got a bit of the soccer experience.
Yeah.
I never have.
Look, okay, coaching kids is very rewarding. It can be a challenge, though.
That's right. And it's an interesting thing to experience because you see kids and in their little worlds, when everything goes right, you see the joy and excitement. But when things don't go their way... The tempers, the frustration, their little worlds just crumbling down. It's really quite interesting to see, and you see that especially in kids' team sports. It's pretty special.
Yeah, sometimes they can kick up a bit of a tantrum, but in sports mode.
That's right. Now tell us a bit about this incident that went down. Spill the tea, if you will.
Okay, so I was filling in as my oldest son's soccer team coach, which I do sometimes.
Yep.
So last weekend, winter sport trials are kicking off, like football, rugby league, netball and all that. So there's trial games going on everywhere. So it was, there were two games. I was coaching both of them and it was in the second game. So getting towards the end of the day and I came across an altercation that I've never really experienced before. So in my son's team, there's a kid who's a lovely little soul But whenever there's an altercation or an incident, he seems to kind of be at the forefront of it. Right?
So everyone's seen these type of kids before along the journey.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to name his name, but I'll just refer to him as Rocky. Okay. So little Rocky got in the way of this other kid. It was a complete accident. Another kid in our team, they both kind of bumped into each other. It was no one's fault, but Rocky has gotten really upset about this, right? He stood up and he's just given this kid one. He's really pushed him over and thrown him to the ground.
Wow.
It was pretty gnarly. I remember kind of yelling out, like, what are you doing, mate? That's not okay. It was no one's fault. Anyway, so this other poor little kid was on the ground crying straight away.
Oh, my God. So this is a tough scenario because you're just the fill-in coach.
Yeah.
Do they train you for this?
Well, I've watched a lot of YouTube tutorials on how to drill and train seven-year-olds, but haven't come across this one. So it's on the list to check out.
Oh, my God.
Break up a fight amongst the kids. Yeah.
So this poor kid's on the ground. The other ones push them. Do you send the one that's pushed them off? What do you do?
Well, I didn't have to because he took himself off. So he's legged it and just started screaming. The refs come over to break them up fighting. All right, this other kid, Rocky, he's screaming.
He's gone.
He's took off. His mum, in the meantime, has run onto the field to try and calm him down. He's just started legging it for the bushes, right?
Oh, my God.
So she's chasing him.
Run, Rocky Balboa.
I know, right? This feels like something pretty intense at this point.
Oh, so I know.
I was torn. I was like, okay, there's a kid on the ground crying. There's another one of our players running away, all right? His mother's chasing after him.
Come back!
You're and, just like, I just want an easy Saturday.
Yes, and we were drawing one all at this point. I really wanted to win the game, okay? So I had to figure out how I was going to get some subs on. So I had to quickly get one of the other kids on who already had started taking his boots and shin pads off because there was only a couple of minutes left. So I'm quickly pulling his socks and boots and shin pads on.
Put them back on, mate. Come on, we still got to win this.
Yeah, and kind of sent him back out onto the field. The ref was looking at me going, wow, does this happen with you guys every weekend? Like,
I'm just the fill-in. Okay, big question after all of that is Rocky's taken off. Did you win the game?
We did win the game. So
You know what? That's all that matters. Coach Mark for the win.
You know what? That little Rocky Balboa, he's happy when he wins because he's screaming out, Adrian, we did it!
We did it!
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. And on the air now.
People have very different ways of starting their day, right, Crevo?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it depends on what lifestyle you have, what job you have. I don't know about you, Crevo, but I wake up like every single morning, just throw something on and then just literally drive to work. I don't do anything else other than brush my teeth.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as me.
Well,
gotta get in early, right?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently this fitness influencer, his name is Ashton Hall. He's been slammed for his extreme morning routine, which starts before 4 a.m. It entails him dunking his face in ice, like a bowl of ice, multiple times, working out and then rubbing banana on his face. Yeah, do with that what you will.
I got the bowl of ice water. I guess that could wake you up.
Wakes you up, helps you with like stem cells or something. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not a scientist.
What's he rubbing banana on himself?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he trying to catch a monkey? What? He smell like banana.
I taste and smell like banana. Oh, forget one. It'd be like a flock of monkeys. Yeah,
that is odd behaviour. Come here, I've rubbed banana on myself. Of all things to do.
Just wild, yeah.
Put a bit of face cream on if you need to.
It's around a 4 to 5 hour routine. Who has that much time in the morning?
That is absurd.
Yeah. Hope he's not a parent, because if you're a parent, you've got no time for that.
Hope he doesn't live near a zoo and they escape one day.
He goes out on his balcony just for a bit of a stretch after rubbing banana on his face.
All the monkeys are crowding around him. Oh, it's so nerve-wracking.
Come here, my pretties. Yeah.
What an oddball.
New FM. The Novos.
So this next story we head up the coast a bit to Surfers Paradise.
Oh, lovely.
Cavill Avenue, of course, which is famous for all of the big parties and all that sort of stuff, where one Alyssa and Moto went out for a night out on the town.
Great.
Right? And as part of this, she went into this bar that had a mechanical bull. Now, all's well, she gets on the mechanical bull and sort of, this looks like a lot of fun. She then was thrown from the mechanical bull after it was turned up to high and ended up with the biggest egg on her head. Honestly, it looks like two eggs put together.
Oh, my God.
Just above her right eye.
That sucks.
It looks atrocious.
I bet it does.
Yeah, not ideal. She's saying, look, luckily her teeth weren't damaged at all, especially because she's a dentist.
Oh.
because she was very, very worried about them, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, fair.
Apparently, this is what she's saying. The mechanical bull operator turned it up to a point where I was hanging on horizontally at high speed. It caused my whole body to fly across to the outside wall where I hit my head.
Oh, my God.
Everyone heard a loud thud. Friends gasped loudly, "Are you okay?" It all happened so quickly. I was in shock, she said.
Oh, my God. That could have killed her.
I doubt it.
Oh.
Mechanical bulls, though, can be a bit dangerous.
They are dangerous.
Yeah, just by their very nature, you're literally seeing how soon you fall off something.
Well, yeah.
Here's what I wanted to do. 4967-4105. Have you ever had a mechanical bull incident? Or what did you fall off? Motorbikes, bikes, you know, scaffolding, a roof, all that kind of stuff.
How about your own legs?
That is also possible. Mechanical bull stories, I've got two that come to mind. The first one is right here we had a mechanical bull at the station.
When? Where was I for this?
Just before you were here.
Oh, bad.
Part of some sort of breakfast stunt or whatever, I was put onto said mechanical bull.
Hilarious.
Of course they turned the thing right up and I fell straight off very, very quickly. Another one comes to mind where I was at a Christmas party years ago before I worked here. And this lady, it was also a radio station. This lady who worked in the sales department, look, she might have had a few too many wines. I wasn't counting her drinks. She decided she wanted to ride the mechanical bull while wearing a GoPro that she brought along for the evening.
Yeah, righto.
She fell off and smacked her head, and the GoPro hit her head. She ended up with a massive egg on her head.
Ouch.
Mechanical bull incidents.
You got to do it for the gram.
That's it. She was hoping to get this great video, ended up with a massive egg on her head, and look, she didn't seem to be in any pain at all. Perhaps it was the wine.
I remember when I was a lot younger and our old house used to have this really long driveway.
Yeah.
So my brother Samuel used to practice like skateboarding and stuff up and down the driveway.
Nice.
Took it out for a bit of a run around town and ended up falling off and breaking his wrist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So be careful.
You can fall off anything and hurt yourself. Pretty bad.
Yeah.
My dad, when he was a kid, he had this balance board that he got. First time he ever rode it, fell over and smashed all his front teeth out. He's got falsies since he was like 14 because of that.
Oh, bless him.
Here's what we wanted to do. 4967-4105. What did you fall off? Or do you have a mechanical bull story?
Oh.
Could be like the bikes or the motorbikes, scooters, whatever. Anything you've fallen off and had an incident with, we want to hear your stories.
Okay, let's go to Adamstown. Good morning, Reese. What'd you fall off?
Oh, when I was in Bali, me and my partner did a quad bike tour and I got the acceleration clutch and the brake clutch mixed up.
Ooh.
And I went full pedal, which I thought was the brake, but it was the acceleration, and I went arse over.
Yeah, eyes over. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you any injuries? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Just my ego.
Just your ego was damaged. Nice one, Reese. So, hey, that's enough.
That's the most painful of all injuries sometimes.
It could have been so much worse. Could you imagine, grazes on your head?
GoFundMe page, all sorts.
There totally would be a GoFundMe page.
Usually,
help, I need prosthetics.
Yeah, when it comes to, motorbike incidents in Bali. Hey, in Chisholm, Daniel, what's your story?
Morning. I was on a mechanical bull at a friend's bucks party.
Ooh.
And one of the guys that was at the party decided to jump on the back of the bull while I was on the front. As they turned it up, we both went flying off, but the only thing was I landed on him, so I cracked two of his ribs.
Oh my God. Did you say you couldn't stop laughing?
I couldn't stop laughing because, like, we're obviously drinking a little bit, but it was just hilarious. I didn't understand why anyone would get on the back knowing how big they are.
Yeah, how ridiculous.
Daniel.
Well, mostly Daniel's friend for getting on the back of the bull.
Just the laughter, though. Oh, my God. He's, like, laying there in agony, and he's like, ha, sucker.
Hey, well, it was only a couple of ribs. I'm sure he'll be right. Yeah.
The Novos when you wake up.
Live across Newcastle and the Hunter.
All live, all local, 100% Newcastle.
All right, I want to do a shout-out to Mayfield Corner Cafe.
Oh, okay.
What's so going on? I wanted to get a coffee yesterday in the afternoon, about 2 o'clock. Mm. Onyx shut. I often try and get there, but it was Monday Arvo, whatever. Mm. Anyway, they were still open till 3, Mayfield Corner Cafe.
Okay.
I was like, I said a large iced latte.
A giant cup of coffee.
Give me something massive so I can finish off this day.
Oh, you should have my tank of water that I carry around with me. Maybe that'll help.
Could have.
I'm going to fill that with coffee one morning.
Only $6. And it was a giant tank of iced latte.
Nice. Okay.
Very good. Often they want like $7 plus for the big ones. $6. Good value is what I'm getting at.
Why you got such a good deal?
I think that's a normal price there. Ooh. So if you want to, like, I was looking at the other coffee, like $4.50 or something for a small. It feels on the cheap side for Newcastle, I think.
Yeah, roughly $5 on average.
Normally,
isn't it?
Yeah. I think they're a bit cheaper. And if you're after, like, the banh mi's there, they are so good as well.
Even better.
So I just want to give them a shout out. They're delivering the goods on good value. Mayfield Corner Cafe represent. And not closing so early. Everyone closes so early. What if I want a coffee in the afternoon?
Because that's a weird thing to do.
No, it isn't. Sometimes. Stop closing, everyone. Don't you like money? Anyway, rant's over. But also get their coffees there. It's great.
Okay, well, there you go. Great tip.
UFM. The Novos.
Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find any parent that hasn't had to, I guess, take a break from a screaming child every now and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're just intense kids.
Yeah.
They've got big emotions. They don't know how to deal with it.
No, that's it. And of all different ages. Mm. And you're just like, oh, I can't handle this anymore, or I just want to scream myself, whatever.
I need a break.
Well, this woman down in Sydney has just come up with a new idea, and it's getting quite a bit of traction. It's even featured on national news. And they're called tantrum parties, and they could be the answer to help mums cope with the emotional build-up of their tanty kids, I guess.
So what happens at a tantrum party?
So the workshop in Sydney invites mothers to let their frustrations fly and chuck the wildest of wobblies in a woman's only tantrum party. Basically, it's a hissy fit fest.
Oh, my God.
It brings at least 10 women together collectively to crack it without judgment. So there's, like, footage of this woman, like, punching the air, stomping on pillows, screaming. It's just ridiculous.
Do you remember,
but it's funny.
Have you heard of these, like, destruction rooms or whatever they are when you're in really smash rooms?
Yeah.
I think there might be one in Newcastle even.
Probably.
When you're really upset, you can go and, like, put a baseball bat through a computer monitor and feel better about the world.
Saves you damaging your own home or someone
else's.
That's
right. Yeah. You can go do that. It feels like that, but except when you just want to vent about your kids.
Well, that, it's like, it's, you know how, like, toddlers, for example, you're in the shopping centre, right?
Yeah, and they just have a full meltdown.
No, I want the juice, blah, blah. And they're like, jump up and down, they're kicking the air, they're like rolling on the floor. You're doing the exact same thing as a full grown adult, just getting out your pent up kind of energy of hate and seethingness.
In a judgment free zone.
Exactly, you're all doing the same thing.
You can all do that and then realise how ridiculous it is and maybe have a glass of wine.
Oh, yes.
I feel like that might sell very well as a little party offering.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Ari, this video circulating online. Mm-hmm. It's going viral right now of these two utes crashing into each other at Woodbury. Now, it doesn't seem like an accident because It is crash after crash after crash. They keep, like, one keeps reversing into the other.
Some anger issues, I think, were about here.
It feels like there's a bit of anger going on. Here's a little bit of the NBN News report on this exact incident.
Utter chaos in Woodbury. This Ford Ute repeatedly reversing and ramming into this Nissan on Frewin Avenue. Amongst it all, a group of teens quickly jumping out of the way.
Look out, boys! Look out! Look out!
Centimetres from being hit. A quick dodge before rounding onto Green Hills Avenue, the Nissan driver briefly managing to avoid more damage, but it doesn't end there.
Jeez, full, very intense if you see the video, wow, which is filmed through some crim-safe, like, screen door thing.
It's from someone's house that they've filmed this from.
And they've gone, I'm not going outside. I'm not even opening the screen door in this situation.
God, you don't even want to be seen by these drivers, I reckon. You'd be, like, fearful.
Very intense, yeah. One that has, like, the aluminium tray on you. It's in front, and it keeps reversing into this, like, more like a dual cab type of ute.
Yeah.
And it smashes the absolute living, all of it, out of this poor ute.
And then they continue on in the next street over. I just don't understand what the heck is going on. Usually if you want to get revenge on someone,
you'll take off or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Just literally, you just back up once, you hit him, like, right, that teaches you a lesson, and then drive off. But, like, it continues. What happened?
Ari's how-to guide there.
Oh, yeah. I'm investigating this piece. What's the motive behind this attack?
Crash responsibly is Ari's message there. I don't get it.
And safely.
Yeah. It's the whole thing, though, is pretty wild. At the start of the video, all these, like, it looks like about four or five teenagers jump out of the aluminium tray ute that they're riding in.
Oh.
And then all this crashing just takes off. The whole thing is bizarre. There's so much, it feels like maybe there's some sort of score to settle, or maybe it's just road rage. One of the people has been arrested, so I'm sure more details about this are going to come out.
Hopefully.
Because, boy, oh boy, it's interesting. If you're wanting to watch the footage, just search, like, Woodbury Ute Crash, because it's a tasty little local gem, that one is.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
The other day, Krivo, you and I were having a conversation behind the scenes, right, about scones. Because it's scone time in my household. We're making a lot of scones recently.
Yeah, right.
And we were talking about what we like to have on scones. So I'm, me personally, a fan of, like, the jam topped with whipped cream.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's my
favourite. Cream and jam, I think, is about the best. Whatever order, I actually don't care what order you put it in.
Well, that's another discussion for another day.
Yeah, it is, but it doesn't matter. But that is the top combo, yeah.
Now, I am someone who doesn't really like to make the whipped cream. I love the spray can stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It tastes different.
It does. Overall, it's less for me, but I don't mind canned whipped cream in certain scenarios.
Now, the reason why we don't buy much canned whipped cream at home is because of the way that I like to consume it. And I revealed to you, Krivo, that I actually spray whipped cream directly into my mouth from the can. Putting it back in the fridge, taking another hit later.
Can to mouth. I was like, are you kidding me? That is gross.
It's such a ritual, though. You've got to do it. If you've got canned whipped cream in the fridge, you best believe that is going straight in the mouth.
That can to mouth is so wrong.
No.
Just put it into a bowl or onto your scone or
spooning
whatever.
Spooning whipped cream? Nah. You can't spoon out the cream.
You are so wrong, Ari. It is so gross.
No, what's
you put
wrong
that
with it?
Back in the fridge and someone else uses it? Come on.
I remember the first time that I ever sprayed whipped cream in my mouth, and it was such a holy experience.
A holy experience.
It's like when you get, like, a spoonful of Nutella straight out of the jar. It is
holy,
like, heaven.
Holy dooly, it's gross. Stop. You can't have that. You've got to.
It's one of the, like, the last of pleasures in this world.
It is animalistic behaviour.
Exactly.
And it's so wrong.
I love it. It's so good. Okay, so This is the debate here.
I can't believe we're doing this.
I had to get people's opinion on this. So, right or wrong, 4967-4105, give us a call. Spray whipped cream in the mouth. Is it right or is it wrong?
It's got to be on something.
It's so wrong it feels right.
No. It's so gross. Ari's saying it's absolutely fine, and by her, all of her accounts, basically a religion or a religious experience. I'm saying it's so gross. Yeah. All right, let's find out what Newcastle thinks about this, I guess.
Please.
In Blackalls Park, Damon, what are your thoughts?
It's so right. It's right on every level.
Yes!
Yeah, most definitely.
Do you have a can in the fridge at the moment, Damon?
Can in the fridge at the moment. Two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah, get both hands pumping.
Oh, you're double dosing.
Yeah,
here.
Double dose.
Wow.
You are next level. That is even better.
Two cans to mouth is extraordinary.
Oh, my God, I can't wait to do that when my parents go away. That's great. Okay, Sheila in Maitland, good morning. What do you think's right or wrong?
Oh, not to spray in the mouth, because I've read somewhere that comparing your foot, your mouth, and the belly button, the mouth has got the most bacteria.
Thank you. Thank you. Some common sense in Maitland prevailing this morning.
I like how it's the feet, the mouth, but also the belly button.
Who knew?
No, I would have expected hands or I don't know.
Yeah, Sheila knew in Maitland, and I love it. So one apiece at this point.
All right, fair enough. Okay, to Cahiba now. Good morning, Bree. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Really good. Where do you stand on this debate?
It's oh so right.
Yes! Do you do this all the time, Bree?
No, I haven't done it for a while, but you've made me want to do it again.
You're due for a spray can. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Okay, so at this point, what is it? Two to you, one to me.
That's it. Yep. Okay.
So will this be a clean sweep or are we going to a tiebreaker? Good question.
Oh, my God.
In Maitland, Simone, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, clean sweep.
Are you kidding me?
Simone.
Do you have cans at home right now, Simone?
I have two in my fridge, but I only use one at a time.
Okay, that's fair. At least you're stocked.
You're not double fisting it like Damon?
No, but you don't actually put the spout in your mouth. You literally just pour it from afar. You're not actually
from
putting your mouth around it.
Yeah, and it plus makes it into a game. You know, how well can you aim?
How high can you go? That sort of thing.
Yes. Simone's right, though. She's absolutely correct.
Jury has it here. I think we can say, finally, once and for all, it is A-OK. Except if you don't like bacteria, then probably don't.
UFM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
Ari, what's on for the rest of your day today? What have you got happening?
I'm going to have a nap.
Look at you.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
a little bit on the tired side this morning.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
My eyes do droop. So it looks like I'm having a stroke of some kind, but
no,
I'm just tired.
No, you don't. You don't. You look fine, but you do look a bit tired.
Yeah, that's fine. What are you doing today?
I'll do a bit of shop work this afternoon, which is good. And then, I don't know, maybe we'll go out for dinner tonight. I haven't been out for a while, and I just feel like it's a good evening for a Tuesday.
I agree.
Not too busy. You can get in early and, you know, it's not crowded, so I might do that.
Sushi?
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea, actually. Or maybe a bit of Chinese, something like that.
Ooh, a succulent
Chinese meal sounds good.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Now, before we go, we do have to award a prize.
I always forget about that.
And it's really good. This week we've got the tickets to Six the Musical.
Yes.
It arrives at the Civic Theatre, Newcastle, April 10. Book your tickets now, sixthemusical.com.au, or you can win them with us all week. Everyone that gets on air is in the draw straight away. We're giving away the doubles all week.
Mm-hmm.
Today goes to Simone from Maitland. Now, earlier in the show, we were discussing whether it was right or wrong to spray whipped cream out of a can directly into your mouth.
Mm.
Came down to the deciding vote. You had a heap of votes on your side saying it's fine, and then Simone said this.
Sorry, clean sweep.
Are you kidding me?
Simone.
Do you have cans at home right now, Simone?
I have two in my fridge, but I only use one at a time.
You're not double fisting it like Damon?
No, but you don't actually put the spout in your mouth. You literally just pour it from afar. You're not actually putting your mouth around it.
Yeah, and it plus makes it into a game. You know, how well can you aim?
Well, that is a good question.
Yes.
And that aiming has won Simone from Maitland two tickets to go see Six the Musical. Enjoy that.
Brilliant. Well done. Maybe get another can of whipped cream on your way.
To celebrate.
Yeah.
Congratulations, our latest local winner here on UFM. Have a great day, everyone, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you then.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.